Hello, hello, hello. This is Omani Harold, PEP Pep, People in Power Purpose Podcast. I am on the phone with my sister in Christ from Mary and Martha Retreats and nonprofit organization as well. We're having a good conversation about basically the man, the black male, and the posture of him, and also husband and wife in our positions. And I wanted to get this on legitimate, so we can have that free conversation and understand that this is what we have to really be talking about, not talking about each other, but talking with each other, to each other as sisters, as wives in different sects of age group, and also different sects of time being married. Let's hit it. Conversation started off as, you know, where do we see ourselves? Identity. Understanding that black men are in a identity crisis, as well as we are. And we've touched on that briefly. But where do they stand? How can we love on them at the same time, encourage them and inspire them to encourage themselves and to inspire themselves? Let's talk about it.
This is Melissa talking, and, you know, Amani just is usually mentoring me on the process of supporting your husband and recognizing him in your position as a wife. And I think the other day she was telling me there can't be two people driving at the same time. And as she was talking, I was reminded of that conversation. Because if two people are driving at the same time, you know what would be the end result? It would be a car accident.
Right.
So
right.
What we have to do, we have to learn to know when it's their terms, they're driving, and when we're supposed to be in the passenger seat. And encouraging them to let them know where we're going.
Right.
I had a dream. It goes back, you know, I'm seeing the dream that I had where I was in the passenger seat and my husband was driving, but it was dark. And I was able to see that the road was coming to an end, but he didn't see. I was like, you didn't see? In the dream, I was like questioning. No, it was my voice that he needed to hear that this, up to this point, I can no longer instruct you. Or support you.
That's good.
You're going to have to see for yourself.
Right.
And I think, and in a respectful, honoring way, not in a tearing down, you not doing this, you not doing that.
Come on.
I just want you to lead us. I just want you to take us further. But right now, I don't even know what to say to encourage you or to help inspire you on your journey. So let me call on my Father, who's in heaven, and he'll answer me, and he'll protect me, and he'll protect us. But we have such a understanding of that we have to have a point or be validated by what they say.
Well, call it what it is, Melissa. Call it what it is. It's pride. We're so prideful. We've been taught to be independent, which is out of order anyway. We've been taught to, I don't need a man. I want him. I don't need him. And this is and that. When in reality, in order for us to move forward, in order for us to be as successful as we are and even further, we have to feel that femininity and be able to lean on a strong back. And who would that be? Our husbands, right? But in order for them to be strong, it's work. It's work, boo. And I can't tell you enough. It is work. But we have this tendency to this is what we say we don't want. We don't want a boy that always got to be up on his mother. But what we tend to do is mother our husbands. When in reality, we're supposed to be their wives. But how can we be their wives if we don't know how to be a woman first?
Exactly. And that's why there's a turmoil. Like I said, I've been married, almost 9 years. this September. And it's just now. It took me 9 years just to understand. I don't even know how to help you. I don't even know what you need.
Right, right.
So let me focus on me and do what God has designed me to do, because he's the one who brought me to you.
Right. And
so he brought me to you.
But see,
why wouldn't I trust him to equip me along the way for what you need?
And that's the thing. I think what we forget in that process is that God brought you two together. You get what I'm saying? I think we forget that there is a need for both of us as husband and wife to build from each other. I couldn't do this with any other man other than Tim. It wouldn't have worked, because I'm always speaking. I'm outgoing. This isn't that. Tim Harrell is my analytical protector. He won't analyze, he'll stay quiet, and he won't speak unless he got really something to say. And that is the difference between him and I. There's other differences, but you also have to know, and see, this is the thing, even in the military, we were taught to know yourself and seek self-improvement. And that's part of leadership. But it was also what we learned was to know your team. So in order to know what I mean by knowing your team, you have to know how to mentor your team, how to develop your team, and who's on your team. See, right now, for example, my husband, I only can use me as an example. My husband, like I said, is quiet. I'm the one that's always doing the research, doing all this stuff, and then I bring it to him. I'm the advisor in the house. The decisions won't be made until he makes the decision. But in reality, this decision has already been established because of the fact that of my research. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I can't come to him and say, okay, we're going to do this, and that. He's going to be like, well, how did you get to that point? How did you understand that? My daughters, even though they're my daughters, I still value their advice. And that's another whole different topic that we need to talk about and respect. But my daughters, when I ask them a question, they'll say, well, let's look at it this way. They're giving me a millennial and a Z generation outlook on it, because they have the tools of social media. You get what I'm saying? So their mindset is totally different than what you and I would bring to the table. So it's an honor. Even when I was in the military, I could yell and da 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 and bark orders at one of my troops, but I had to talk to the other one. So you gotta understand who you're talking to. You gotta respect your audience. That's even with business. You gotta know your demographics. If you don't know who you're talking to, then how dare you expect your information to be comprehended? It won't be. And just like you said, I can't even help you now. There is a season where we have to allow our husbands and take the training wheels off and allow them to ride the bike on their own, but still be ready at the corner for when they do fall, if they fall.
It's funny you say that. My daughter is 6, and her dad recently took off her training wheels, and I didn't know he did it. I woke up one morning, was walking out the house, and I saw the training wheels on the side of the house, and I said, when we got in the car, I said, Jewel, when you start riding your bike without the training wheels? She's like, oh, daddy just had them off, and then he just kept holding me, so I couldn't go, so I just ride without the training wheels, but daddy just wouldn't let me go. So even a 6-year-old can see that even with the training wheels off, I'm still not ready. I'm still not ready to take fully control of this bike without my dad.
Right, right.
Because I have to learn how to balance, shift myself,
and trust in the right direction. And trust myself.
Trust myself to steer in the right direction so I won't get in the street.
Right.
I won't hit a car. But that's where I believe you know, it's our kids really are examples or practical things that we can really look at to see where we are spiritually,
yep.
emotionally, and really in our marriage.
Yep.
Because that's good. I feel that way. When I got married, I was like, I had a misconception, and this elder in the church said to me and my husband, when you say I do, your marriage is like bringing home a newborn baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, I'm literally just 9 years old. So what does the 9 year old usually do?
Pout.
They're adventurous. They like to try different things. They want their way. They know how to articulate little things, but they're not still adult or even a teenager where they know there's consequences for their actions.
Right.
As much as intense as it is as you grow older.
Right. Right.
So, I'm just 9, and Amani's been married over 20 years, so she's literally now living in her marriage as an adult.
Right. That's good. That's good. Because 24-year-olds are not no longer in the drinking phase. Like, when you turn 21, the first thing you want to do is drink. Because you've been told for 21 years that you can't drink until
yes.
you're 21.
You're not legal, yeah.
Right. So when you get there, it's just like when you turn 18, I'm old enough to vote now. So now I'm 24, it's like, oh, okay, this ride is still good, but now I'm aware of how I need to speak to and communicate. So communication is key. And until we understand that communication is key, that doesn't mean that I gotta communicate all the time in my voice. I don't have to I don't always have to talk and open my mouth. Sometimes communication can just be me making a plate of food for you, husband, and sitting down and just letting you eat. And not watching you eat, but just sit there and, you know, have a conversation. How was your day? You know, things of that nature. You know, I had a text from a friend, and I think I've told you, Melissa, you know, a colleague of mine that I used to work with when I was working. And he said, people need to hear you. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, remember that conversation we had? And I was talking about, you know, we was having a conversation about, you know, marriage. And what stuck out to me about that conversation is you saying, I will not and cannot hurt my husband any more than what he's been dealt with when he goes out there in the street. He's been beat Amen. Up. He's been talked about. He's been disrespected as a black man in the street. Why would I do that and break him down when he gets home? And I didn't think that meant a lot, but it does.
It does. It does. And it brings up. when I got married, my husband, you know, raised in the church, very spiritual, traditionally, you know, in what I saw when we first met. And he would say things like, he said, well, when we get married, our marriage is going to be a ministry.
Mm. Like, he spoke that and he didn't even realize what he was talking about.
Exactly. I was like, Lord, I said to myself, oh God, he's speaking that already. It was not going to be this glorious roses in the park, Cinderella, Prince Charming came to sweep me off my feet, and now I'm going to be in a castle and just live happily
but see,
ever.
Now, let's stop at that point. The fact that you said Prince Charming swept off my feet, all those things, in reality, that is not even near anybody's marriage. See, that is the false mindset, right, that people have given us. Hello, hello, hello. This is Omani Harrell, PEP Pep, People in Power Purpose Podcast. I am on the phone and on the radio right now with two of my colleagues. Matter of fact, one is my CFO for Wealth Builders Kingdom and also my senior advisor from Wealth Builders Kingdom. We're on here talking about a particular one of those choke points in business that we as African Americans, period, and people that are that have small businesses in the minority world and category that have a tendency to do that we don't get the opportunity to actually address. Right now we're having a conversation basically about how and why we don't value ourselves and why we think that we need to do a discount to everything. So the big thing that I have, and y'all can chime in when you think you need to, is the issue of market research. We don't really do that because we don't know where to start. What y'all think?
Exactly. How y'all doing? Give y'all a proper introduction. Not y'all keep on YouTube. So y'all subscribe. Joyce White from New York. We got Omani here in Maryland and Mark Turner somewhere in the United States.
Lord.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah. But I'm gonna hit on that. Omani just talked about. Let me explain something. Just had a conversation with one of Omani's friends about her value. And with this woman, it's a great conversation. She undervalues herself because she based her business off of her friends. And I explained to this young lady, I said, stop worrying about your friends and start worrying about your business. I said, if your friends are not going to support your business, that doesn't make them less than friends. It just makes them less than a part of your business and your financial journey. So basically, I told her, step back, put a smile on your face, don't be negative. Restart your day. And the negativity, you let it pour into your system. That's what you're going to be striving on all day about, these negative experiences with your friends. Your business has to have value. And of course, back to Omani, check my mouth for this, with the market research. And this is what I explained to her. I said, you must know your true market. Mm-hmm. But in order to know your true market,
that's good.
You can't devalue yourself. You can't go on a discount spree because you're going to bring in those type of people. People are always seeking discounts.
Exactly. You got to keep in mind at all times that if you value what your product is and it can be delivered, you've got to put a good price point on it so someone actually is attracted to it.
Nice.
And that's real good. And also, we have to remember, the first thing that I've always said, and y'all know me personally, so the first thing that I've always had, and it's a quote of mine, you cannot make a decisive decision in an emotional state. So if you're emotionally attached to this, and we are emotionally attached to our businesses, it is true, but we have to detach emotionally so we can see the facts, so we can decisively make decisions and choices for our business. We don't want to work for our business, we want our business to work for us.
Exactly.
Nicely said,
yes.
Now we'll go. Let me iterate some more stuff on what we had this conversation about. So what the conversation really came down to, the things that she was already practicing, but she stopped practicing those things because she got secured by her friends.
Hmm.
The things that I told her in this conversation was, and y'all know who I am, and y'all gonna be real, and I be blunt with you. I told her stop having a pity party for yourself.
Right.
I said, this is what's going to happen. You want to restructure yourself. So what I did, I took her to a website of her competition in the area. And I said,
excellent.
How many meals do you prepare a day? Or how many could I get per day? She said, up to 3 meals. I said, well, great. Do you do 5 days a week, 7 days a week? How many? She said, as many as you want. I said, that's too many.
That's too many.
Specific numbers.
Yeah.
So I told her competition. The competition is 3, 5, and 7. Number 500.00.
Right. Mm-hmm. Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark. Explain it. And you know what? It's a psychological thing that people, when people see zeros, they, like you said, they think that they see less, they're getting less. But in reality, they're probably 9 times out of 10 they're getting quality stuff, but a quality product. But because it looks so weird, they won't jump on it. But with that $693.95. I'm getting a discount. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting a discount. I'm getting a discount with this $693.95. That rolls off your tongue because it looks like you're really getting something for cheaper than what you would. When in reality, if you calculate all that stuff, all the products and the supplies and the manpower, you're actually giving them.
That's it. I was going to touch on that. Because if you put it on a whole nother level and not even think about the cost of what you're selling, think about the people power behind it.
Right.
If you had to pay someone.
Right.
And you couldn't hit your price point on your product, you would never have anyone working for you.
Not only would you never.
That's with you.
That's right on the money. But not only will you not have people to work for you, how are you going to make a gross?
Yes.
How you gonna make money from this thing? Mm-hmm. You're not making any profit. You're just breaking even. It's like I'm using this in food services, and you and Mark, you can understand this especially because you were a cook with me in the Marine Corps. So when we talk about portion count and portion control, our money is already allotted and allocated out for the amount of, say we got 1,000 people, right? Or we can put it down to 25. Let's put it down to 25, make it small, right? And you've made 30 portions. You've wasted your money now, because now you're not gonna make no money, because you 25 people came in and 30 people and 5 more people didn't come in to compensate that food. So now you lost money.
Exactly.
And if you think about a plate, $7.95 or $24 a plate, you done lost almost $100 and something, almost $200, because you didn't allocate that money. Now you're paying back into your again, you working for your business and your business not working for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's where the problem comes into play. Where I actually had a conversation yesterday. I was delivering to a restaurant up in Nashville, and I was delivering to a restaurant, and I walked in. This young lady was portioning out meat, and I said, "What's your portion control size?" She's like, "It's 3.5 ounces." I said, "Why that?" She's like, 3.5 ounces allows us to make X amount of dollars per meal, a portion, blah blah blah.
She knows.
You know, you're the first restaurant.
She knows.
The first restaurant I've been to on this route, and you're the only one that measures food.
You have to. And that's how the budget is regulated. That's how orders and supplies are purchased. That's how the lights in the restaurant is being paid for.
That's it. Everything is accounted for.
And we didn't even talk.
Quite frankly, I think what we're touching on is like the mentality of the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Is just about getting the product and services out there.
Right.
But if we were to change that and think of a full-fledged business like a restaurant and do the portion control, there'd be a whole lot more successful businesses.
You're absolutely right. But you know what?
That's what it really comes down to.
And we haven't even touched on brick and mortar.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? No. So that's a whole nother animal. But at the, you know, just thinking about being able to have these conversations, and guys, there's going to be more conversations like this when we actually bust open our channel. Yeah, we're about to bring a channel here soon. And you know, if y'all really are interested in getting this information with Miss Joyce White and Mr. Mark Turner, I definitely will forward all their information to you. But these guys right here, they're part of my team, they're my friends, and it just so happens that, you know, they family as well. I love them to life, and I love how we have these conversations. But if y'all have any questions, any messages, any feedback, please let us know. This is Omani Harrell, PEP Pep, People Empower Purpose Podcast. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.